Okay, Sabbath blessings. Let us start 1 minute early. All right. So, again, Sabbath blessings to our young brethren and to all our brothers and sisters who are joining us in the Children's Study Hour. Is my sound okay? Do you all hear me clear? Okay, thank you. Praise the Lord. Welcome, by the way, welcome to our visitor. And before we kneel, please put in your prayer request. For me and my family, we have many unspoken. For Brother Dwayne, many unspokens, and Sister Mindy, many unspokens. Janias, greeting everyone. Happy Sabbath. Unspokens as well from her. Brother Joe, many unspokens, and Sister Palm, unspokens. Sister Ida, unspokens. And Jana has her prayer for my grandma to heal quickly. All right, we'll include her in prayer, and Alvi, unspoken. Luna, prayer for the sick and the poor. Thank you, Luna. All right. Let's wait for our other prayers. Let me pull up. Okay. I think all prayers are good. Sister Barbara, prayer for my husband who is in the hospital again. Oh, yes. Jesus will heal everyone that are sick. He is our mighty healer. Okay. If you can, if everybody are ready, if you can, please kneel, and we will start our prayer. Bow your heart. Loving Father, our Creator and God, we praise you for the Sabbath rest that you have given us. As you hear your faithful children, with all the prayers, whether it is spoken and unspoken, we lift them all to you, Father. And we thank you already for whatever answer you will provide us, or that would glorify your name and according to your perfect will. Oh, Father, the days are flying by. And here we are once again worshiping you with humility. How we wish it were Sabbath day every day to be with you for eternity. We plead for your grace that we can endure grief, hardship, sufferings, and even death. For we know this is just for a little while. Now, as we work towards our character perfection, we pray for the Holy Spirit, the promised Comforter, to fully fill us so that we can stand until the end. Please bridle my tongue and the rest that will speak for you today. And thank you for all the blessings you have given us for the past week. We also pray for healings, Father, for all the sick, especially for Sister Barbara's husband that is in the hospital. Please make them whole, that they can serve you and accept you. And thank you for the angels and for your presence that is in our midst. And Father, please forgive us from all our sins, that our prayers will be answered. And this we ask in the name of our loving Savior and King, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay. Now, we are in the portion of sharing your praises and your testimonies. So if you have, please put them in. And I will start with my testimony. I want to praise the Lord for every day He bestows upon me and my family the gift of life, the bread of life that we always borrowed from Him. And He provides me and the rest of my family as well with the wisdom and strength that we need to fulfill our daily responsibilities, corresponding works, and also I thank Him for inspiring me with the beauty of His creation as I look around that illuminates the words and the truth that deepens our understanding of His promises. And I thank the Lord for answering my prayer. Even He says no, and if I receive that kind of answer, I'm still grateful. I thank Him for His guidance. And as I understand the reason behind His answer, then I start glorifying His name because His guidance always works for my good, for our good. It says, all things work together for good to them that love Him. So I also thank God for the travel mercies we had last week when we embarked for a missionary trip. We received an invitation from a sister, our dear sister, and we thought of going there maybe next year because the weather is very cold. And the place that we are about to go, we are supposed to go, is more colder than in our place. And it's hard to do a long trip. But as we prayed to God to lead us, you know, we receive an answer saying, go. So we got ready, our stuff. We prepared only for one day and hit the road. And we drove for 11 hours. And I thank God for helping us to obey Him, to obey at His command, even when the situation is unpleasant. And making it taught us to trust in Him, teaching us to obey without questioning. So I praise the Lord for that. And all glory to His name. All right. I see some praises here also. We are from Sister Pam. Praise the Lord, she said, for the answered prayer, for the strength and the courage to obey. Amen. Yes. Even the desire and the courage and the strength and the faith, it is through His grace that we can have those. Praise His name. So Sister Luna says, praise the Lord for making the animals, for healing me, for our clothes and food, for our home that protects us from the rain and the cold. I also praise Him for all the beautiful flowers. Amen. Simple praises, but very meaningful. And Sister Jana, praise the Lord for another Sabbath day. Now we have Sister Mindy. Thank you, Sister Jana. Sister Mindy has a praise also. She said, praise the Lord for this Sabbath, Holy Sabbath day. Praise the Lord for my salvation and the joy it brings. His many, many blessings I don't deserve. His protection, correction, trials, my beloved church family, the truth He has blessed us with, and His wonderful love. Amen. Thank you, Sister Mindy. From Sister Ida, I praise the Lord. I praise God for this home church, this beautiful sunny day, the answers to prayers, and His many blessings that God does for all of us. Thank you, Sister Ida, and I echo your praise.
Sister Jania, praise the Lord for my family, my cat, the protection, shelter, and just, and for just everything. Amen. From Sister Alvi, I praise the Lord for helping me with my school and the little snow in our place. Wonderful. As from Sister Mindy. Sister Barbara, praise the Lord. This is what she said, for His daily blessings and protection. He gives us all we need and comfort. Praise the Lord for my salvation and the joy it brings. Praise the Lord for this church family. Amen. Sister Barbara, praise the Lord. And from Sister Damian, praise God for everything He has done for all of us. Amen. Brother Damian, thank you for sharing your praises. Okay. So, by the way, we are going to do the continuation of our story from last Sabbath. And let me pull up again if I missed. Hopefully I didn't miss any praises, because they are precious. All right. So let's start. The title of our story is The Ordination of Paul and Barnabas. This is the part 2. From the book of Sketches from the Life of Paul, pages 45 to 49. So let's read. The apostles started out upon their mission, taking with them Mark. They went into Seleucia and from there sailed to Cyprus. At Salamis, they preached in the synagogues of the Jews. And when they had traveled through the island of Paphos, they encountered a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew by the name of Bar-Jesus, who was accompanied by the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from faith. Satan controlled him, using false report and various specious deceptions to turn him against the apostles and destroy their influence over him. But Paul, in the power of the Holy Ghost, rebuked the wicked deceiver. He set his eye on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." Immediately, mist and darkness descended upon him, prompting him to seek guidance from others. When the deputy witnessed the actions, he was astonished by the doctrine of the Lord and believed. Sergius Paulus, the deputy, was convinced of the truth of the doctrine taught by the apostles and embrace the gospel of Christ. Beautiful. Praise the Lord for that story. And Paul and his company now continue their journey, going into Perga in Pamphylia. Their way was toilsome. They encountered hardships and privations, and were beset by dangers on every side, which intimidated Mark, who was unused to hardships. As still greater difficulties were apprehended, he became disheartened and refused to go farther just at the time when his service were what? Most needed. He accordingly returned to Jerusalem and to the peace and comfort of his home. Mark did not apostatize from the faith of Christianity, but like many, many young ministers, he shrank from hardship and preferred the comfort and safety of home to the travels, labors, and dangers of missionary field. This desertion caused Paul to judge him unfavorably and distrusted his steadiness of character, devotion to the cause of Christ. The mother of Mark was a convert to the Christian religion, and her home was an asylum for the disciples. There, they were always sure of a welcome and a season of rest in which they could rely on the effect of the fierce persecutions that everywhere assailed them in their labor. It was during one of these visits of the apostles to his mothers that Mark proposed to Paul and Barnabas that he should accompany them on their missionary tour. He had witnessed the wonderful power attending their ministry. He had felt the favor of God in his own heart. He had seen the faith of his mother tested and tried without wavering. He had witnessed the miracles performed by the apostles. He had himself preached the Christian faith and had longed to devote himself entirely to the work. By contrast, Barnabas was inclined to excuse his nephew's inexperience. He felt anxious that he should not abandon the ministry, for he saw in him qualification for a useful laborer in the cause of Christ. After the departure of Mark, Paul and Barnabas visited Antioch in Pisidia, and on the Sabbath went into synagogue and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Thus invited to speak, Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, saying, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." He then continued to recount the history of the Lord's dealing with the Jews, starting from their liberation from Egyptian bondage and the promise of the Savior from David's lineage. He then preached Jesus as the Savior of men, the Messiah of the prophecy. Amen. Praise the Lord for the wonderful study that we have today. Amen. So, before we continue to our question and answer, we shall be hearing a song to be played by Brother Dwayne.
And all of my planets.
That we had today of the field. The field is already ripe. The harvest is already ripe, and it's, you know, and we only have few laborers to work. So let's do our part. Let's be the one to finish this work. So may the Lord help us. And now we will continue with our question and answer. Ready? Okay, here is my first question. What places did Paul and Barnabas go to starting out their mission? What are the places they went? Is it A, synagogue, Jerusalem and temple, B, Seleucia, Cyprus and Salamis, or C, Judah, Nazareth and Bethlehem? A, B, or C? This is based on our story this morning. What are those places they went to? Three different places. All right. Okay, very good. The correct answer is letter B. They went to Seleucia, Cyprus, and Salamis. All right. Good job. Good job, everyone. You got it correct. And for my second question. Blank, who was he, the deputy of the country, a prudent man who called or invited Barnabas and Saul because he desired to hear the word of God? Is it A, Pontius Pilate, B, Ananias, or C, Sergius Paulus? A, B, or C? Okay, thank you, Lord. You all got it correct. The man, which is the deputy of the country, who wants to hear about the message, is Sergius Paulus. Very good. Praise the Lord again. Now, we are going to my third question. When the apostles traveled to the island of Paphos, they met a Jew sorcerer, a false prophet whose name was blank. Who was he? Is it Bar-Jesus, B, Balaam, or C, Witch of Endor? Who was this sorcerer? Who was with the deputy Sergius Paulus? Yes, it was Bar-Jesus, a sorcerer. Very good. Everybody again are correct. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It is letter A, Bar-Jesus. Good job. Now for my fourth question. Okay.
Okay, another sorcerer. There are two sorcerers that was mentioned in our story today. There is another witch named blank. He withstood the apostles. He seek to destroy their influence. Influence to Sergius Paulus over him. Satan controlled him by using what? False reports. So is it A, Balaam, B, Elymas, or C, Bar Jesus? Who is this? Another sorcerer who this wants to destroy the influence of the apostle to over Sergius Paulus. Okay, very good. The correct answer is Elymas. That is another sorcerer, and he was controlled by Satan. Okay, good job. Very good, praise the Lord. Elymas. Now, okay, everybody are correct. Now, fifth question. My fifth question is, what happened to Elymas after Paul, in the power of the Holy Ghost, rebuked the wicked deceiver? What happened to him? Because he was used by Satan. He wants to destroy the influence. He doesn't want Sergius Paulus to believe the apostles. But what happened to him as Paul rebuked him through the power of the Holy Ghost? Let's see. Yes, he became blind. Immediately he became blind. Dark mist of darkness fell unto him, and he became blind. Very good. Good job. Everybody are correct. Good job. And now, let's see. All are correct. Yes, he became blind. He was blinded. He went blinded. He went blind. All right. So for my sixth question, and you are again correct. For my sixth question, when Paul and Saul started out their mission, who with them to work in the missionary field? Who was he? Okay. He was Mark. He was still young missionary, and he was discouraged because he saw that the work is not easy. So he went home. So, yes, the correct answer is Mark. Very good, everyone. Praise the Lord. And for my seventh question, number seven. In doing the work of God, Paul and his companions were toilsome. They always encountered hardship, privation, and constant danger. All who engage in the work of the Lord are expected to what? To experience same thing. Is it true or false? Yes, the correct answer is true. That is part of the salary when we do the work of God. We can experience malice from our beloved family or friends, or even in the same faith. False accusation, hardship, privation, danger, hunger, but we are not to be discouraged. This is an inspiration for us to keep going. Okay, everyone are correct. Praise the Lord. True is the correct answer. Because reaching souls and preaching the gospel is not an easy task. No servant, like when Jesus was here in doing his missionary work, No servant is greater than his master. We need to be Christ-like, having the love for the lost soul. That's what would flourish our heart. We love those that are about to perish, and we are to expect rejection, malice, and hardship, because Satan is, you know, there. He doesn't want us to be working for him. All right, for the Lord. Number eight. Question number eight. Why did Mark return to Jerusalem and seek the peace and comfort of his home? What do you think? What was said in the story why he returned home and he didn't continue? Why did Mark return to Jerusalem and seek the peace and comfort of his home? Answer. We have an answer. He was scared. Yes. He was afraid. The hardship was too much to bear. Very good. Thank you, Sister Sue. Sister Mindy, because he couldn't handle the hardship of the missionary work. Yes, good answers. Then those are correct. Let's see from others. He was scared because hardship was too much, according to Sister EC. Okay, all our answers are very good. And now I'm going to my last question. Paul began to judge Mark unfavorably and distrusted his steadiness of character and devotion to the cause of God. Did Paul, you know, doubted Mark because of what he did? Yes or no? And the correct answer is yes. He was discouraged. He was, you know, he doubted him because he was the one who said, I want to go. And then he backed out. So, yeah, everyone are correct. Yes is the correct answer. Praise the Lord. And I would like to thank everyone for joining us and for participating. And most important is for learning with us, with me. Praise the Lord. And next Sabbath again, we will continue the story. I hope and pray you are all blessed. And for now, I will turn you over to Sister Mindy for more learning. God bless us all and love you. Bye.
Sabbath blessings, brothers and sisters. Can everybody hear me okay? Praise the Lord. Thank you for the wonderful study, Sister Geniza. All right, so this Sabbath we're going to be going over scripture regarding David and Saul, and we're going to determine what commandments were broken in the verses that I'm going to share. Brother Joe, if you can please get us started. This is found in 1 Samuel chapter 4, 10 through 11. And the blank fought, and blank was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for they fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the blank of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were blank. Very good. The first blank is the Philistines. The next one is Israel. The next blank is Ark. And the last one is slain. All right. Very good. We're on to next question number two. Which two commandments did the Philistines break? Was it A, commandments 6 and 8? B, commandments 1 and 3, or C, commandments 7 and 10. All right, the correct answer is A, Commandments 6 and 8. All right, question number 3. What does Commandment 6 teach us? Very good. The sixth commandment teaches us, thou shalt not kill. And they killed many of the Israelites, the Philistines did. So they broke commandment number 6. And the next question, question number 4. What does commandment number 8 teach us? Very good. Thou shalt not steal. What did they steal from the Israelites? Something very important to the Israelites and very important to God. What did they steal? Anybody know? Yes, they stole the ark. That was very, very important to the Israelites and to God. All right, very good. On to the next question. This is found in 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. When the Philistines took the blank of God, they brought it into the house of blank and set it by blank. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his blank to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they rose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was blank upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the blank of Dagon and both the palms of his blank were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of his Dagon was left to him. Fill in the blanks. Very good. The first one is Ark, Ark of God. The next one is Dagon. And the third one is Dagon. Then the next one is Face. And the next blank is Fallen. He was fallen upon his face. The next one is Head, the head of Dagon. And the next one is Hands were cut off. Very good. All right, on to question number 6. Which two commandments did the Philistines break? Was it A, Commandments 5 and 6, B, Commandments 1 and 2, or C, Commandments 8 and 9? Wait for everybody to get their answers in. Very good. The correct answer is B, Commandments 1 and 2. All right. Question number 7. What does Commandment number 1 teach us? What does commandment number 1 teach us? Very good. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, says God. God is our only God. All right. Very good. Next question, question number 8. What does commandment number 2 teach us? What does commandment number two teach us? Wait for everybody to type in their answers. Very good. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or bow down to worship them. And we know Dagon definitely was a graven image. They made a god. Yep. And Dagon did not survive by the Ark of God. So God was not pleased, obviously. All right, next question. Okay, this is found in 1 Samuel, chapter 18, 8 through 12. And blank was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto blank 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil blank from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David blank with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will blank David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of the presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the blank was with him and was departed from Saul. All right, very good. The first blank is Saul, the next one is David, and the next blank is spirit, the next blank is played, and the next blank is smite, and the last one is Lord. Very good. On to question number 10. Which commandment did Saul break? Was it A, commandment number 3, B, commandment number 9, or C, commandment number 6? What did he try to do to David? Very good. The answer is C, commandment number 6. Even though he didn't kill David, he tried to. He hated him so much that he wanted to kill him. So that's the same as breaking commandment number 6. All right, question number 11. This is found in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 3 through 7. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And blank went in to cover his feet, and blank and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the man of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the blank said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's blank privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's blank smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my blank, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the blank of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the blank and went on his way. All right, the first blank is Saul, the second blank is David, the next blank is Lord, the next blank is robe, the next blank is heart, the next blank is master, and the next blank is anointed, and the last blank is cave. Very good, everyone. Now we're on to question number 12. This is found in 1 Samuel, chapter 26, 8 through 11. Then said Abishai to David, God hath blanked thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me blank him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to earth at once. And I will not blank him the second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's blank and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall blank him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take thou now the blank that is in thy bolster, and the cruse of blank, and let us go. All right, the first blank is delivered. The next blank is, I think it's smite. Let me smite him. The next blank is smote or smite. All right. The next blank is anointed. The next blank is the Lord shall smite him. And the next blank is spear. And the last blank is water. All right. Very good. On to question number 13. Which two commandments did David obey? Now, this is obey, not break. Which two commandments did David obey twice? Was it A, commandments 1 and 3, B, commandments 5 and 6, or C, commandments 8 and 10? All right, the correct answer is B, Commandments 5 and 6. Question number 14. What does commandment number 5 teach us? It's the commandment with a promise if we obey it. What does commandment number 5 teach us? Very good. To honor thy father and thy mother. And the last question, question number 15. Saul was David's father-in-law. True or false? Very good. That's true. Saul was David's father-in-law. So David obeyed commandment number 5. He did not harm his father-in-law. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord. You guys did a great job. All right. So this Sabbath, we're going over our 10 commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5. So please get your Bibles ready and let me know when you're ready. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and we will get started. And as you're getting your Bibles ready, what we're going to do is I'm going to read the Bible verse. And you're going to tell me what commandment that is and what verse it is. And you're going to tell me whether that verse is different or the same as Exodus chapter 20. So you're just going to put a D for different, S for same, okay? So I'll read the Bible verse, you tell me what commandment it is, what number, what verse, and D for different or S for same. We're going to compare the commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5 to the commandments in Exodus chapter 20. I thought that would be kind of fun. All right, here we go. Let's get started. All right, the first one I'm going to read. Neither shalt thou steal. Neither shalt thou steal. What commandment is that? What verse? And is it different or the same as commandment, as that commandment in Exodus 20. Wait for everybody to get their answers in. All right. That is commandment number 8. And it's found in verse 19. And it is D. It is different. Very good. All right. On to the next one. I'm going to read. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Very good, Sister Zoom. It is different. Exodus says, thou shalt not steal. All right, that is commandment number 1. And it's found in verse 7, and it is different than Exodus, in Exodus 20. Exodus 20 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Deuteronomy chapter or verse 7 says, thou shalt have none other gods before me. So it is different. Very good. All right, on to the next one I'm going to read. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor thy, any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. All right. This is going to be verses 12 through 14. It's commandment number 4, and it is different. And the main difference that we all know is in Exodus 20, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, it says, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. So it is different for sure. All right, the next one. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. All right, very good. That is commandment number 10. It is worded different. And it's found in verse 21. All right. They use the word neither rather than thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, and so on. All right, the next one. Neither shalt thou commit adultery. Neither shalt thou commit adultery. Very good. That is commandment number 7. It's found in verse 18. Wait. Let me double check. All right. It's found in verse 18. And it is different for sure, because Exodus 20 says, thou shalt not commit adultery. They says, neither shalt thou commit adultery. All right, on to the next one. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Very good. That is commandment number 5. It's found in verse 16, and it is worded different. Okay. On to the next one. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. That is commandment number 9, found in verse 20, and it is worded different. Again, they use the word neither instead of thou. Okay, on to the next one. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And it's going to be verses. All right, that is commandment number 2. That is verses 8 through 10. And it is worded different. And it's just a slight difference. In Exodus 20, it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Deuteronomy says, thou shalt not make thee any graven image. So it is a little bit different. Not much, but it is a little bit. All right, on to the next one. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Wait for everybody to get their answers in. Very good. That is commandment number 3. That's found in verse 11. And it is the same. It is worded the same, exactly as Exodus 20. All right. Very good. On to the last one. Thou shalt not kill. Very good. That is commandment number 6, found in verse 17, and it is the same. And speaking of that commandment, that was our commandment we were to memorize. So type it in the room how it is worded in, well, they're worded the same, so it doesn't matter, but we're going off of Exodus 20. What is commandment number 6? Type it in the room. We should all know this one. It's pretty easy. Very good. Thou shalt not kill. All right. You guys did a great job. Praise the Lord. Have a beautiful, wonderful Sabbath. I'll see you next Sabbath, everyone. God bless. Oh, and next Sabbath, we're memorizing commandment number 8. All right? Love you all.